Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and elevating the souls of Allegra Bat Rachel, Pesach Seb Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. Well, we've had the euphoria now of the announcement of the Trump Middle East plan, the Trump Netanyahu Middle East plan, to be more accurate. And it really says a lot about what a terrible generation we live in, what a foolish, insane generation we live in. And I'm referring especially to the Jewish people here. First of all, let me make something very clear. Even if, as some of the Trump Netanyahu supporters claim, this does not lead to the creation of a so-called Palestinian state, and of course there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, that's a historic lie. Until the 1960s, the Arabs themselves always said there's no such thing as a Palestinian people. They invented this people overnight in the 1960s to use it as a convenient propaganda excuse to destroy Israel. But there is no Palestine. There never has been a nation called Palestine or a Palestinian people in history. Never. In fact, before the 1960s, when you said Palestinian, it referred to the Jews, not to the Arabs. But anyway, those supporters of Netanyahu and Trump who claim to be right-wingers and are really the phony right, are really pathetic. With support like that, Israel doesn't need any enemies. They will tell you, oh, this won't lead to a Palestinian state. No, it won't, because the Arabs will reject it. Well, let me tell you something. Even if it doesn't lead to a so-called Palestinian state, when the Prime Minister of the Jewish State of Israel says that he is willing to create a so-called Palestinian state, that he is willing to surrender even one millimeter, even one grain of sand in the Holy Land of Israel, that is a terrible sin. It is a crime against the Jewish people. It is a chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name. We are not permitted to pretend, for instance, that we convert to Christianity. Let me give you an example of what we're not allowed to do. Many, many Jews throughout history were burned at the stake, were massacred in the most brutal way, were tortured to death, they and their children, because they refused to convert to Christianity during the Christian Crusades, during the Inquisition. There were many times in history when Jews could have saved themselves if they would have just faked it, even though they clearly didn't believe in Christianity. The Jewish people are not going to believe. I'm talking about Jews, not the insane, assimilated, self-hating Jews of this generation, but I'm talking about Jews historically. I'm not going to believe in a religion that says that God became a man. That's an absurdity. That's an idolatrous absurdity in the mind of a believing Jew. And so they would never really genuinely believe in Christianity, but they could have escaped being murdered, them and their families, if they just had faked it and pretended. All they were told is just say you acknowledge Jesus and you acknowledge Christianity, and that's it. And they wouldn't have been killed. That was what the demand that was made of them. But if you don't acknowledge it, we're going to kill you. And they did kill them for not acknowledging it. And many, many Jews throughout history, many Jews willingly had their throats cut. Pregnant women had babies from Cossacks in Russia and in Ukraine. Their babies were cut with swords, were cut out of the women's pregnant stomachs. And people were burned, were tied to stakes and burned alive. Unbelievable, horrific crimes, all in the name of the religion of love, Christianity, the great religion of love. Some love. And all of this was done, and the Jews would not even fake it. Now, a practical thing to do, and there were practical Jews who did do this, and I'm not judging them. In a situation like this, I'm not judging them, because you never know until you're in that situation what you would do. So I'm not judging them. But there were practical Jews who, you know, who didn't believe in Christianity at all, were completely considered it to be an absurdity and didn't believe in it at all, and were disgusted and horrified by what Christianity represented and what the Christianity did to the Jewish people over the years. And yet, they faked it. They pretended to believe, but they were really still Jews. They didn't really, they just said the words. They said the words to save their lives. In Judaism, you're not allowed to do that. We're supposed to be willing to die rather than accept idolatrous religions. We're supposed to be willing to give our lives. Because we're not allowed to desecrate God's name. And because we believe that there is a world after this world, and there is a higher calling for every Jew, and there are things in life that are more precious than life itself. There are things in life, principles and values and morals, that are more precious than life itself. And so many Jews died al kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name, refusing to do that. This is the same situation here. We're for a Jewish prime minister of Israel, and all those Jews with yarmulkes, with kippot on their heads, that were applauding Trump and Netanyahu at that press conference where they were announcing that they wanted a Palestinian state. What a disgrace. What a disgrace. They should be ashamed of themselves. All of you Jews who thought that was wonderful, you should be ashamed of yourselves. You should do tshuva. You should do repentance because you committed a terrible sin. To even fake it and pretend that you're willing to acknowledge something like this, you're willing to give a part of the land of Israel, is a terrible sin. And by the way, Netanyahu was not faking it. He really wants a so-called Palestinian state. He really has been against having the Jews control Judea and Samaria. He thinks, oh, that means we're going to take in another 2 million Arabs and we just can't do it in the Jew, and the 2 million Arabs live there. I don't want that in Israel. He really buys the left-wing line that we can't annex Judea and Samaria. Okay? So he really is in favor of a Palestinian state. He really is in favor of this plan, and this plan was him and that other traitor, Kushner, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, Trump's evil son-in-law, they came up with this plan, and then the other Judenrat Jews, Jason Greenblatt, and all the other Judenrat Jews in the Trump administration, they came up with this plan. And they really are in favor of a so-called Palestinian state. So they're not faking it. And you Jews that are not faking it and that are willing to accept that, you, of course, are sinning far more, far worse. You're far worse sinners against the Jewish people and against the God of Israel. But the fact is, even if it was something that wouldn't come about, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to say this, and it brings punishment. God forbid. I hope God has mercy on the Jewish people. I hope there won't be punishment. I hope that God has mercy, and we pray that God should have mercy on the Jewish people. But the danger that God will punish us for this is very, very great. And one of the ways of punishing us is to allow the natural consequences of what we're doing to come to fruition. In other words, we thought we're faking it, and God creates circumstances where it actually comes true, God forbid, with a nightmare, and the curse actually comes true. You're willing to say that? Okay. We'll give you what you were willing to tell the world that you're willing to accept. The Jews are supposed to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation, a nation of priests. The Jews are supposed to save the whole world. This land belongs to us because God gave us this land as an eternal inheritance. When the Jews hold press conferences like that pig Netanyahu did with that other pig Trump, when they held that press conference, when they said what they said, they betrayed what the Jewish destiny demands of every Jew. And you evangelicals and others who claim to be supporters of Israel, you're full of baloney if you support this. If you support something that goes against what it clearly says in the Bible about where the land of Israel is and the Jewish people are supposed to have from the Nile to the Euphrates, that's their eternal inheritance. And so when they actually acquire they only have a small amount of what they're supposed to get according to the Bible. And for you to say before the whole world that you're willing to have them surrender the little that they have, surrender even 1 inch of what they have, is a terrible sin. It shows that you don't believe in the Bible and you don't believe in God in reality. But in any event, this is not faking. There's a very serious danger that this will come true. This is just the starting point for where the negotiations are eventually going to go. And look at the plan. Look at what we're talking about. 70% of Judea and Samaria would turn into a so-called Palestinian state. You know what that means? That means all of Israel. All of Israel will be exposed to Arab Nazi terrorist artillery fire, like the communities near Gaza are today. All of Israel will be exposed to that. All of Israel. Every resident in Israel, if we have a so-called Palestine state. Every Arab terrorist with a bazooka rocket will be able to go very close to Natbag, to the Israeli airport, and shoot down Israeli planes from the so-called Palestinian state. Even sections of pre-1967 Israel, tiny pre-1967 Israel, which is only 6 to 9 miles wide at its narrowest point, even within tiny pre-1967 Israel, sections of the Negev are being handed over for this state. It's not just the 70% of Judea and Samaria. Sections of pre-1967 Israel are being carved out of the Negev to be handed over to this so-called Palestinian state. And there's an extension of a building freeze on Jewish building, which is the really important issue. The really important issue has always been moving as many Jews into these areas as possible, because that makes it impossible for you to get them out if there are too many Jews living there. And there's a building freeze already in effect. The argument is, well, does that mean there's a freeze in building? And the Netanyahu supporters, the phony, imbecilic pigs, imbecilic, ignorant pigs. The phony Netanyahu supporters in America and Israel all around the world say, oh, it doesn't freeze. It only freezes within certain communities. It doesn't freeze outside the boundaries of settlements. I got news for you. The settlement freeze has been in effect for 10 years already because of Netanyahu. He put a settlement freeze in effect a decade ago, and it has never stopped. He vetoes and prevents the creation of numerous new Jewish communities. We could have tripled and quadrupled the Jewish population in Judea and Samaria. You could have had, instead of 500,000 Jews living there, you could have had 2 or 3 million Jews living there by now, and then there'd be no chance of any concessions to the Arabs. There'd be no chance. This would forever belong to the Jewish people, and no one would ever be able to change that reality. But Netanyahu stopped that for the past 10 years. He has a building freeze in effect, an anti-Semitic building freeze, that if you're Jewish, you're not allowed to build in Judea and Samaria, which is the biblical heartland of Israel, and even in eastern Jerusalem, even in the capital of Israel, you're not allowed to build. So, of course, that building freeze is going to continue now with this. And this will be used as an excuse. This agreement will be used. We don't want to upset Trump. We don't want to upset the administration that has done so much for Israel. They've done so much for Israel. They've done nothing for Israel. Nothing. And a huge tunnel. They plan to build a huge tunnel as part of this plan, connecting Gaza and Judea and Samaria. A huge tunnel. The biggest in the world. But after all, Gaza and Judea and Samaria have to be connected. It'll cut Israel in half. That's true, it'll cut Israel in half, but we don't want the Arab areas to be cut up. This has been the dream of every Arab Nazi that wants to destroy Israel, cutting Israel in half along its waistline. And now we're going to have a tunnel that will do just that under this agreement. You know what that'll mean in a war? If you have a tunnel where they can move armies and equipment very quickly across that tunnel, Israel's a very small country, could be done within minutes. You can move large amounts of weaponry and forces into these areas. This has been the nightmare of Israeli generals and Israeli military planners for years. Now the Israeli generals and military planners are all defeatists who accept things that for decades Israeli military planners told us, don't ever accept that's suicide. Now they're willing to accept anything and everything because they're defeatists. But the original Israeli generals and military planners who told us, never, never accept this type of thing, never accept tunnels, never accept cutting Israel in half, never accept going back to pre-67 borders, never accept the Palestinian state. They were right. When they said it was suicide, they were right then. And if it was suicide then, it's suicide even more now. And the plan allows mass Arab immigration into the new Palestinian state. All Arabs who claim to be Palestinians, quote unquote, will be permitted to go in, will be permitted to enter this new state, which they're not allowed to do now. You can't. Arabs are not allowed to come flooding into Judea and Samaria now. But under a new, but with the new state, millions will be able to come flooding in, and you'll have an immediate, overwhelming Arab majority from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean. The Arabs will be the majority in the land of Israel. They'll be the overwhelming majority of the population. How long do you think little Israel will survive in a situation like that? And $50 billion in aid to this new so-called Palestinian state. Trump promises, Trump and Kushner and all the other disgusting people involved in this. They promise Trump doesn't even know what's going on. He just wants his name glorified as the great deal maker. He doesn't give a damn about Israel or Arabs or anything. He just wants his name glorified. $50 billion in aid to the so-called new Palestinian state. That's a lot of money for these people. That's a hell of a lot of money being handed out. That will attract millions of Arabs coming flooding into the area wanting to get a piece of the pie. And 15 Jewish settlements with thousands of Jews completely surrounded by this new Arab terrorist state. You know, 15 Jewish settlements are completely surrounded. They have no contiguous, there's no contiguous border for them with the rest of Israel. None. They are surrounded with no defense. They'll be at the mercy of the Arab terrorists. And let me tell you something. Arab Muslim Nazis have no mercy. They don't have mercy on their own people. They murdered millions of their own men, women, and children over the years. Millions. In the Iran-Iraq war alone, over 2 million Muslims were slaughtered by their fellow Muslims. In Syria, 1 million Muslims have been slaughtered now in this civil war. If this is what they do to each other, if they perpetrate Holocaust against their fellow Muslims, what do you think they would do to the hated Jews if they had a chance? Now, we were told, yes, but there'll be an annexation of the 150 Jewish settlements and of the Jordan Valley. There'll be an annexation. Netanyahu promised he's going to bring the annexation this Sunday. He said he's going to bring the annexation. Surprise, surprise, surprise. There'll be no annexation. Netanyahu says, oh, there are technical problems now. We can't do it right now. The Americans object, and there are technical problems. And the Attorney General of Israel says, no, there are legal issues. All lies. There'll be no annexation. All the promises. And you know, Moshe Feiglin, whom we supported in the past, what a disappointment he is. He said, well, now, if you annex it, it's going to be a good deal. How come I knew that there's not going to really be an annexation, that this is all a bluff? And even if there were a legal annexation of the areas, let's say there was a legal annexation of the areas, and I don't believe there will be, but let's say there was. So what? The claim that that will lead to massive new Jewish building there is so patently absurd and so provably false. East Jerusalem was annexed by Israel in June 1967. Right after the June 1967 Six-Day War, the Israeli cabinet unanimously voted to annex East Jerusalem, and East Jerusalem was officially annexed and into as official territory in the State of Israel. East Jerusalem is annexed into Israel now. Since 1967. And yet Jews are not allowed to build there and Netanyahu prevents them from building and living there. In other words, there's a building freeze there for 10 years and it's annexed. So even with the annexation, they have building freezes. Annexation does not help you when you have Jewish traitor leaders. Laws that are passed mean nothing. when the people enforcing the laws are liars and traitors and frauds and scoundrels, which is what we have in the Israeli government. All the parties and all the people running in Israel are liars and traitors and scoundrels. The Golan Heights was annexed in 1981. Did that stop numerous prime ministers, including Netanyahu, from offering to surrender the Golan Heights to Nazi Syria? The Negev. You don't have to annex the Negev. The Negev has been part of Israel. The areas in the Negev that we're speaking about are part of Israel since Israel became a state in 1948. The Negev was always part of Israel. Now they're offering to surrender part of the Negev. So annexation does not solve your problems. It doesn't solve anything. We were told when Trump moved the embassy, the American embassy to Jerusalem, that solves our problem with Jerusalem. Oh, now, yet the building freeze continued in Jerusalem. Netanyahu continued to block many thousands of Jews who wanted to immediately move to Eastern Jerusalem. He blocked them from moving there, despite Trump moving the embassy. And we're now told that we're going to have the capital of the so-called Palestinian state will be in East Jerusalem. So we're going to have the capital in East Jerusalem. In Judea and Samaria, you'll have a Palestinian state. You'll have a huge tunnel connecting Gaza with Judea and Samaria, a huge Arab terrorist tunnel. $50 billion in aid will be given to the new Arab terrorist state. Millions of Arabs will be able to flood into the new Arab terrorist state from all over the Arab world. What a great deal for Israel. Wow. And everybody's applauding. This is an opportunity we'll never get again. That's what everybody was saying. It's an opportunity we'll never get again. What euphoria. What a sick people. And this sick people, the Jews, survive when all other, when huge empires, much bigger than the Jews, and much more powerful than the Jews, much more sane than the Jews, They're gone thousands of years already. The Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, the Mesopotamians, and the Persians, and ancient Egypt, and all these other great empires. They're all gone. They're gone. And little Israel, the Jewish people continue to live on. And you don't believe in God? You don't see what a miracle this is? With such a stupid, crazy, suicidal, self-hating people? And yet they survive and outlive everybody else. All of this reminds me of the vast Sinai retreat that Menachem Begin and the Likud, another phony right government, perpetrated on the Jewish people. Menachem Begin surrendered the entire Sinai to Muslim Nazi Egypt. The vast Sinai, which was three times the size of the rest of Israel. He gave up three quarters of all the land the Jews had in the Sinai. He gave up three quarters of all their land, of everything they had, for a piece of paper from Egypt that isn't worth, and the treaty that was signed isn't worth the paper it was written on. And so what did Egypt do? They claimed to have a treaty, the Egyptians, you see, these are clever Muslim Nazis. What did the Egyptians do? They used the Sinai to allow hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from Africa, black Muslim Nazi criminals and scum from Africa, to come flooding in to the Jewish state and take over cities like Tel Aviv. South Tel Aviv is over 70% black. Over 70% of South Tel Aviv's population now are black illegal alien Muslims from Africa. Would you want to live in those neighborhoods? You have any idea what the crime rate is in those neighborhoods now? If Israel had the Sinai, the whole problem of the illegal aliens, which is absolutely devastating, city after city, especially Tel Aviv, but city after city in Israel, this whole crisis that Israel faces with the hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens in Israel would never have happened. We wouldn't have had this problem. Do you know what a benefit it would have been for Israel if Israel didn't have to cope with this crisis that was created by Begin and Netanyahu and Sharon and the Likud and the phony right and all you idiots, you fools, you cowards, fools, idiots, hypocrites, including those with kippot on their heads, who were euphoric over the retreat from Sinai. How insane! Israel had enough oil there to keep Israel not only self-sufficient for the next 100 years in all of the oil fields in the Sinai. They had enough oil to make billions of dollars every year. They would have been exporting oil and earning billions of dollars for the Israeli economy. Do you know what the Israeli economy would have looked like if we had kept the Sinai and had kept all that oil and didn't have the hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens in Israel now, which is a tremendous burden, a blood-sucking burden on Israel's economy? Do you have any idea what Israel's economy would look like? Israel's economy already has grown and flourished much more than you would expect because of Jewish brain power. But can you imagine if, in addition to that, we had the Sinai with all the oil, and Israel was a big oil exporter? Now Egypt, Israel's enemy, gets all of that oil money. Well, that was wonderful when Menachem Begin gave away the Sinai. And the vast majority of Israelis still think it was great when Israel surrendered the entire Sinai and surrendered all the oil and created a situation where Egypt was allowed to flood Israel with hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens. The vast majority of Israeli Jews will tell you that was wonderful. Oh, it was a great deal that they made. Insane. Insane. And what are our options now politically? For president, the race for president this year, we have a serious problem. We can't, I would say, okay, let's vote Trump out of office. But the Democrats are all anti-Semites, are all anti-Israel, so we can't support the Democrats. We've got a real problem on our hands. And how many people would vote against Trump from the right anyway? All you right-wing, so-called right-wing Jews, you worship Trump. Insane. Insane. And in Israel, they wouldn't let me make Aliyah. I mean, if I were in Israel and I was allowed to, I would run for the Knesset and I would run myself. I'd form a party and run myself. Believe me, if I was really allowed to run and freely allowed to express myself in Israel, believe me, with the things I'm telling you now, if I was allowed to bring this to the people of Israel, I would get in. And I would get a decent vote there, a decent amount of votes there, and we would build a party that would eventually take power if I was allowed to do that. But I'm not even allowed to set foot in Israel. Rabbi Meir Kahana, my great leader and our great leader, of blessed memory, his party was banned because he was on the verge of getting 14 or 15 seats in the 120-seat Israeli Knesset. And then he was murdered. He was murdered because he wasn't in the Knesset. If he had been in the Knesset and he had security guards, then he wouldn't have been murdered. It wouldn't have happened. It happened because he was completely unguarded, and because he was banned from running from the Knesset. And all the other politicians in Israel were happy when he was murdered. He was the one leader there who was not a phony politician, who was telling the truth, a true idealist. Now we have nothing. We don't have any voice with the political parties there. The only thing we have is the truth. We have the truth on our side. And we have Hashem on our side, which is, that's a lot. God is on our side. And someday, we're going to win. We're going to win someday, as the prophets promise us, as the Bible clearly says. Someday the Jews will wake up. Someday they will snap out of this and they'll say, wow, boy, were we crazy. What the hell came over us? That's going to happen someday. That's going to happen. That we're promised. We're promised that. That's the theme of all the prophets in the Bible. That's the promise of all the nevuot, of all the prophecies regarding Acharit Hayamim, regarding the end of days. All of them promise us that. So in the end, we're going to win. But until then, how much needless suffering and death and bloodshed and tragedy will we have to overcome? And how many people, like you fools out there, that don't understand a word I'm saying, those of you that don't understand a word I'm saying, how many of you will lose your place in the next world, will lose eternal life, because you support the surrender of Jewish land and support expelling Jews from their homeland and support Palestinian states and support plans that are suicidal for Israel and have no idea because of your willful ignorance no idea what is happening to your people and what is happening to your land and why you were put in this world. But JTF is bringing the truth to the people of Israel. We're telling them the truth. We have an advertising campaign. Thousands of Jews are hearing our message. And we have an advertising campaign that's going on, reaching the Jews of Israel with our message. We're the only group right now that's telling the truth, tragically. It's a tragedy, but it's true. And so, with us, you get the one group that doesn't sell out, that doesn't give in, that lives by the ideals and values of true Judaism, that brings the truth to the people of Israel, and that is a voice of warning, a voice of truth in a generation before the final redemption, because we're in the period of the final redemption, but before then, we were told that the people would be blind and would be foolish and would accept crazy things. They still have free will. They don't have to be. And a tremendous suffering could be avoided if they didn't. But we're in this situation. We've got to wake people up and make them aware as quickly as possible and do the best we can to bring the truth to the people of Israel. That's our role. That's the real reason. That's the real reason why you're watching this video, why you're in this world, Jew and Gentile. The real reason why you're in this world is to do what God wants us to do, to sanctify His name. Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying His name. Believe it or not, someday you're going to see I'm right. That's the real reason why you were created, why you were brought into this world. Not to make money, not to have cars or houses or clothes or bank accounts or stocks or bonds. Or I don't know what else people are doing right now. Not to do or have all the pleasures you want in life, all the physical pleasures and the other pleasures that you crave in life. You weren't put into the world for that. You were put into this world to bring the truth to people and live by the truth and be willing to stand for the truth. That's why you were put into this world. And if you want to be part of that, then you are in the right place. And God willing, hopefully we'll wake up enough people to prevent disaster, and hopefully God will prevent the Arabs from this plan from going into fruition, because God miraculously gives us Arab. Look at this, is the hand of God. He miraculously gets the Arabs in Ramallah and in Gaza to reject the plan. How stupid could they be? If they had any brains, they would accept it immediately. He gets them to reject it. But, you know, there's a limit to how long. Eventually, God forbid, we could have a situation where God could say, look, you're so anxious to do this, okay, I'm going to teach you a lesson, God forbid. I'm going to allow this to happen, and I'm going to show you what happens when you do such stupid, crazy, suicidal things. If he does that, God forbid, it'll lead to terrible bloodshed and terrible tragedy. May Hashem not do this, because of the heroism and the nobility of prior generations and of great Jews who gave their lives to sanctify God's name for their sake and for God's great name's sake. May Hashem have mercy on His people, and may He not do this. May He continue to protect us and continue to give us Arab leaders that are even dumber than the Jewish leaders and that reject these plans, despite the fact that the plans would in fact fulfill their objectives. May He continue to intervene on our behalf miraculously in order to save little Israel, in order to save His people for His name's sake. May that happen, Bezrat Hashem, and we pray for that all the time. And in the meantime, but praying for that is not enough, we also have to act. We have to do everything we can do in our own, with our own natural ability and in the real world, everything that we can do in order to try to convince our fellow Jews to wake up before it's too late. We can make a difference, because history will eventually prove us to be right. The Bible and the Torah and what Hashem says about the land of Israel from the Nile to the Euphrates, and removing all of your enemies from the land and expelling them from the land, and all the things that God promises and that God demands of us in the Bible, and all the promises, the glorious promises He makes if we do what He tells us to do, those are the things that we should live by. And if we could just reach enough of our fellow Jews with that message, we could begin to change things and turn the tide. It could happen. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF Until Next Week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.